Okay. The we left off the end of the sugya of Palganiska Mona and Knasa, Paskinin Palganiska was Knasa, and therefore if you have right the dog that ate the sheep and the cat that ate the chickens, it is Mishuna and it's considered Palganiska. And it's a knas, and therefore lo magbinan be bavel. We don't collect in bavel. Okay, honey, the rav here was such a orchi. We discussed we eat tofas lo mafkinim. But here's the chiddush: we're not gove it in bavel. But if the guy was toface, then we don't make him give it back, right? So if you did some chatzi nezek knas to me, and I don't know, damage me $1,000. If I'm toface $500, I don't have to give it back. The amr kvoli zimni dazlin la arbi yisrael kavina light. Okay. And if, remember, in their days, there were no smuchin bubble, there were smuchin in Eretz Yisrael. So if the guy says, make me an appointment to sue him in Eretz Yisrael, like, let's both travel to Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Din there, then we make that appointment. The laws of Mishab Sinali. And if he doesn't go, then we put him in Chayrem for contempt of court. Okay. That second part is a chiddush, but not a total surprise. It's something which is not enforceable in Bavel and is in Eretz Yisrael. So the guy has the right to say, I want to sue you in Eretz Yisrael. Come to court with me in Eretz Yisrael, or else we will hold you in contempt and put you in chayrum. The first part is a little more of a chiddush, that if he's tafis, lo mavkinimine tfisa works. The assumption here works that Pagan is good. Knasa, that tfisa seems to work for a tfisa seems to work for a knas. Yes.
The second part seems unreasonable to me. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, hop on the train and get there in 2 hours. We're talking about a major expense. And this guy is saying, you know, I don't really owe you anything. You're going to charge me. I'm going to take off 2 months and 3 months and go to Eretz Yisrael and spend how much to do because you're claiming something to me that's not true?
Then let him just pay. Yeah, you're right. It's unreasonable. I think that's the point. And it's also unreasonable that the guy shouldn't pay his damages. Justice,
okay, he's claiming I didn't do damages. I mean, you know,
the it is a fascinating question. After all, how do we know, right? Meaning, we don't actually know,
that's
right? We haven't adjudicated.
That's
it
why
yet.
It's the best.
Right, but we can adjudicate it in Bavel. So, we force this guy to take a trip to Eretz Yisrael. It is a good question. I'm going to assume, even though it doesn't say so here, that there's some, you know, breaking mechanism here, and that the Beis Din in Bavel will not force the guy to go to Eretz Yisrael unless they really think he owes the money, even though it doesn't say so explicitly. Because you're right, otherwise it's ridiculous. I could just walk over to you one morning and say, you know, your ox gored my ox without any evidence whatsoever. You know, let's go to Eretz Yisrael and adjudicate. And if I knew beforehand that I could afford to go to Eretz Yisrael and you can't, then I could, you know, take money away from you without any valid basis. So let's assume that, you know, they won't allow that.
When we say that the Badigun don't do knasot, does that mean that they don't even listen to anything or that they can't give a psak? In other words, can they go through a process and say, this is what we think, just we can't give a psak?
Right. Meaning, can they demand proof with Aiden before they send you before they make you an appointment in Eretz Yisrael, right?
That would resolve the problem to a large extent.
Correct.
They don't even know if it's a knas until they start talking about it.
No, right. That's what the topic is.
No, but do they know if it's a muad or a tam? No, they don't know that either.
Well, let's say, no, because there is no muad in Bavel, because to have a muad, you need to judge them three times as a
right,
tam.
Right, no, sir.
No,
but maybe he has a history, and he was in Eretz Israel and became a tam, and then he moved to Bavel.
Right. Here we are. So already, the Rambam is pretty clear that the Rambam here is not talking directly, but our sugya. When the Rambam talks about forcing someone to go to a different bez, then he says, "Bamedvar mum shayisham edim oraya, aval tanerikonis ein mechayvus initan lotzeis klal." okay, you would demand proof before you had someone go to the other Beis Din. So that's perfectly reasonable. Okay, let's deal with this issue of Tfisa. Why is this issue of Tfisa interesting? Here, the Rush brings down a fundamental machlokas, which already is hinted at in Tosos here. Tosos says, Omer binu tam, davke itofas hamazik atzmog, non kelev, o hashunra, ka omer dlomav kina. Only, says Rabbeinu Tam, not that you can be toe-faced anything you want, only if you're toe-faced the damaging animal. And then he adds one thing. And only b'shasa hezek. Right? Only if you grab the animal that did the damage at the time. You can't, like, go to the barn and grab him later. Why? Because the special kul of the chachamim, says Rabbeinu Tam, this is not the logical din to oraisa that you have the right to be toe-faced. It's only a kula midrabanan, and the kula midrabanan is very limited. Only if you grab the offending animal while during the incident, which is, you know, sort of, that's not taking the law into your own hands. You know, that's while this animal is attacking yours, of course you grab it and then see what happens. Right? The achronim, right. Once, what does that mean? Once the animal goes back home, you can't grab it anymore.
On the way home, you can take it.
It sounds like perhaps, although, you know, not 100% clear. Okay. This is a limited takana darbanan, says Rabbeinu Tam. De'ibachol dover shi yitfos lo mafkinan. Yovel de takalja yomel amachar yigzo kol sherlov and lo notzi mimenu de'eno dodi niknoso ze yafsid yosri masha hizek. And there's such a Rabbeinu Tam, it really has nothing to do with the din at all. You just grab the cat or the dog or the ox, if it were, right? And just keep it stand. They don't sit there and judge how much money you owe and don't owe. And that's why he says it clearly has to be limited, because if you could just grab any money you wanted, then you would just grab $1 million, and what would they do? They wouldn't be able to, for a $500 nezek, grab $1 million, they wouldn't be able to make you give back 999,500 and change, because they can't judge Dine Knossos, and that would be ridiculous. Okay, here are the Rush argued with him on this little prat. The question is, what does it mean we don't judge Dine Knossos and Bavel? Rabbeinu Tam says, it means we can't judge at all. We can't even talk about Dine Knossos and Bavel. If we can't even talk about Dine Knossos and Bavel, then how does it work for you to grab? The answer is, it's not grabbing like have to do with the money of the case. This is just, you know, like they have in America nowadays. I know it's very controversial, not getting into it, the civil forfeiture idea. I don't know if anyone's following the news. It's all since we made Aliyah. You know, that if a guy does a crime and he uses something in the crime, the police can confiscate it, and they don't have to go through the regular judicial procedures. Okay, it's being questioned now in the Supreme Court. So, says Rabbeinu Tam, this really has nothing to do with the normal judicial procedures. We can't judge anything. We can't even make you give back the change if you grab money. All this is that if this cat ate your chicken, you grab the cat, which is sort of a normal self-defense kind of mechanism. Not that you naturally have the right to do that for self-defense. But that has nothing to do with judgment at all. And then we never sit there and ask, is the cat worth more than chatzi nezek, less than chatzi nezek, exactly chatzi nezek? You just keep the cat and shine. It's a takana which has nothing with judging it. And taka, you could collect a little more in the chatzi nezek if the cat's worth more than half a chicken. But that's okay, it's not the end of the world because it's still just a cat. And not only that, the guy deserves to lose his cat if he's not careful with it.
Doesn't Rabbeinu Tam, wouldn't he say that there's some sort of moral obligation for the toe-face, for the right to hose give back?
I don't think so, because let's go back to the Hava mean. Remember your Dalai Rebbe's Parah Shizika Talas and Talas Shizika Parah? Now, we had like six different Pshatim. What was the Hava mean? One of them was, you just keep the whole Parah, you just keep the whole Talas. Meaning there is some moral idea that if I'm irresponsible, right? If you're going to ride your bicycle without a helmet, then I'm taking away the bicycle, right? Et cetera, et cetera. If you're going to use that to hit your brother with, I'm taking it away, right? It has nothing to do with Tashlumin almost for Rabbeinu Tam. Right? There is some moral idea that If you don't take care of your cat, you don't deserve the cat. If you don't take care of your dog, you don't deserve the dog.
It has nothing to do with
Chatzin Nezek for Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam, you can't judge whether it's more or less. It's not for Rabbeinu Tam that, oh, well, even if we judge it's worth more than Chatzin Nezek, we don't make you give back change. We don't even get to that stage. We can't even ask ourselves the question. We need a completely separate mechanism, because otherwise we'd be judging Dine Knossos. The Rabbeinu Tam is very machmir on the getter of judging Dine Knossos. We can't even talk about Dine Knossos. Rather, what's this tfisa? This tfisa is coming from left field, a totally different idea of more of civil forfeiture, that you, if you're misusing your property, you shouldn't have that property. Let someone else take it and use it better. And whatever they're going to do with it, I don't know, sell it to the dog food factory. Whatever they're going to do. Now, the Rush here disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush has quite a number, very compactly, a number of fascinating discussions, not all of which we'll get to analyze. He disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. He says, no, that's not what it means that we don't judge Dine Knossos. It doesn't mean we can't talk about Dine Knossos. It doesn't mean we can't think about Dine Knossos. It means we can't make you pay Dine Knossos. But we can discuss Dine Knossos, and therefore says the Rush, no, you can't, means you confiscate whatever you want. You confiscate, there might be limits, meaning, you know, there might be sort of other, you know, I'd assume you can only confiscate things if you can confiscate them peaceably, right? Maybe you're not allowed to trespass, you're certainly not allowed to assault the fellow, but whatever you can get your hands on in some, you know, peaceful way, you can confiscate. You know, if it happens to be he leaves his bicycle, you know, in the street, you can confiscate, you can take his bicycle. And then, if he owes you damage 100 shekel, owes you 50 shekel, bicycle's worth 200 shekel, Besdin will sit and judge, give him back 150 shekel change, and that's not considered to be done Dine Knossos, because we're not making you pay, we're just analyzing the implications of the Knoss. So here we have a fundamental machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush about what's the din of Ein Dunin. What is Dunin? Dine Knossos. Bavel says Rabbeinu Tam that Ein Dunin Alehem Klal, you can't judge it at all. So how does Tfisa work? After all, Besdin has to somehow approve. You can't have a Wild West. The answer is, this Tfisa has nothing to do with the Knas and the Tashlumin. It's coming from a completely different angle. Having no relationship whatsoever with the Tashlumin, coming from the Hadmin of Parshi Zikatal Tal Shizikapara of civil forfeiture of if you misuse your pet, you don't deserve to have a pet anymore. While the Rush, and probably most people, would say, no. Ein govin, meaning in kofin, you can't make the guy pay the knas, but you can't judge all about the knas if you so desire, as long as you don't make him pay, meaning he can take however much money he wants, then you'll judge how much he has to refund, because you didn't make him pay, you just made him refund.
According to Rabbeinu Tam, what we said before, Rabbeinu Tam, we don't need to start Mishpat. There's no deal at all. So how can I say there's Raya enough to force him to go to Eretz Yisrael? But Rabbeinu Tam, we don't even talk about it. We said before, going to Rambam has a little Raya, so Edim, Rabbeinu Tam, nothing.
Okay, good question. Good question. Unless the answer is that over here, since we're discussing in the context of sending you to Eretz Yisrael, then we have the right to discuss it, because we're not discussing it as judge the buffo. We're discussing it as, you know,
preliminary
hearing for Eretz Yisrael. Lechora. Okay, so let's review again. Now, of course, Rashi seems very clearly to disagree. Says Rashi. Rashi over here doesn't say a ton, itafis nizik v'bavel, but Rashi, quite a few other places, is very clearly against. It's very clearly against Rabbeinu Tam. For example, in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, by the fellow who hit his friend, let's assume taka means he hit his friend, and says Rashi, v'hayuzet tofus mishalodi lavhachi lo magbin leba bavel. Okay, the guy had grabbed some of the other fellow's money, otherwise he wouldn't collect in bavel. So it sounds like they're not talking about grabbing the mazgatzel. The mazgatzel was a person, right? Didn't grab a person, he just grabbed money. Sounds like he can grab any money. That Rashi is not exactly the same as our case, because he's not talking about Chatzi Nezek of Keren. He's talking about Chavalos, But Rashi and Ksuvos is talking about exactly our case, because the Gemara in Ksuvos Bemalef is exactly a carbon copy, Xerox, of the Gemara here. And Rashi there says, Itofes Nizek Mamona Damazik. If the Nizek grabs Mamon of the Mazik, then Gavi Knasa, he can collect his Chatzi Nezek. Clearly, Mamona Damazik doesn't mean only the animal. It means any Mamon of the Mazik. So Rashi disagrees, and the Rush disagrees, and most Rishonim disagree. The Rambam also, I didn't put him on the Makor sheet, the Rambam. He's not particularly revelatory, the Rambam's formulation, but he does sound clearly not like Rabbeinu Tam, says the Rambam, just, I'll read you the Lashon. V'cheinim tofas ha-nizek shir ma-sharoi lo litol ein motzino samayado. If the nizek grabs the amount that he should collect, that he would deserve, you don't take it away from him. Doesn't say anything of grabbing the actual object. Sounds like many times a bit of shitas yachid, and most people disagree. So let's think for a second about what can you grab? So Rabbeinu Tam says only the behema shehizika. Well, Rashi and the Rush and the Rambam say any property. And then you're allowed to judge to make him refund because you're not making him pay. Interestingly, the Ritva says something which seems a little similar to Rabbeinu Tam, but very different. The Ritva in Ksubas, the Meiri actually accused Rabbeinu Tam of, quotes Rabbeinu Tam of saying that, but it's clearly not Rabbeinu Tam is saying, says the Ritva. V'nirin dvar, it appears to be in Tam Zal, because it's tough to make a gospel, but nirin dvar bazeo v'kol niske shortam, she'enu gove elemi gufo. V'kol niske shortam. She'enu gove elemi gufo. V'shar knoso she'gove mi kol nechse yamaz v'kol ma'i tofes lo mafki yamini. Says the Ritva. And this is also what the Meiri accuses Rabbeinu Tam of saying. Meiri says, Chroni HaRabbanim, which is a nickname for Rabbeinu Tam, says this. Says the Ritva. And says the Meiri. The Das Rabbeinu Tam, but I think that's clearly not what Rabbeinu Tam himself says. He says, no, it depends. In Shar Knossos, you can take any of them. In Chatzi Nezek, Karim Tam, in Chatzi Nezek, you can only take the Guf Hamazek. Why? But that's coming from a completely different angle than Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, why can you only take the Guf Hamazek? Because we're not, we can't really collect money at all. This is more of just a, you're in the middle of the fight, so you confiscate the other guy's thing. And more of just a self-defense. Not a legitimate self-defense, but we'd wrap on, we sort of allowed you to do something here so that you'd have some recourse. What the Ritva is saying is no. Is that in other knossos, let's say Kefel, Dalet Behei, the Ones Umafate, Motzi Shemra, whatever other knossos are around. I can take your bicycle, I can take your wallet if you leave it lying around, I can take your cell phone, etc. But in Chatzi Nezek, I can only take the behemoth that did the Nezek. Why? Because he's only Mishalem Gufo. Because he's only Mishalem Gufo. What right do I have to take anything but Gufo? But that sounds a little like Rabbeinu Tam. And then the Iwi quotes this Rabbeinu Tam. Zachroni Rabbanim said this, because it's only Mishalem Gufo. Right? But it's clearly not Rabbeinu Tam. It has nothing to do with Rabbeinu Tam at all. They're saying, because judicially, your Shibud is limited to Gufo. Mm-hmm. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying, because this has nothing to do with your Shibud. This is a completely different angle, which has nothing to do with the money he owes you, because we're not even allowed to discuss the money he owes you. Okay, so there are three opinions. Rashi, Dorsh, and Rambam sound like I take any money. Tam is limited to me Gufo? Yeah, the amount I collect is limited to me Gufo. But I can collect that via any money. You don't have to pay more than Gufo. But I can collect the amount of Gufo from your cell phone or your bicycle as well. The Ritva says, the Meiri thinks, or Rabbeinu Tam says, that, no, I can collect Karen and Dalet Behei from your bicycle. but chatzin nezek only be gufo, because it's limited to be gufo. And when the Tam says, nothing to do with any of these things, and nothing with what you deserve to collect, it's a different angle entirely. Yes?
Maybe you can say that the gufo is a din d'oraisa. When here we're talking about a takana de rabbanon, so the definitions of...
Rabbi Yehuda Thomas told me that the Rabbanon, the Ritva might think it's d'oraisa.
They say that's main d'oraisa that...
Okay, fair enough. Or maybe there are things that is d'oraisa. Now, let's just ask the following question. This, the Rush, is the one that really, gets the heart of the sugya. What's the nature of this din of tefisa? Rabbeinu Tam already told us that hikilu chachamim. It's a special takana d'rabbanan, right? It's a special takana d'rabbanan. Why is it takana d'rabbanan? Because it seems wrong to us that the guy can get away with murder here. Murder of a chicken or or a sheep. But you know what? If your business is chicken or your business is sheep, then that's a serious crime already. excuse me. It seems wrong they can get away with it. But they can get away with it. So Chachamim gave you this recourse. Is this Medina or is this a special Takana? So, this is a famous, in the Rush, this is a machlokas between. Who does the Rush quote it between? The Yad Ramah, right, and the Rush himself. Right, so what's the nature of Fisa Beknas? Is it a special takana, which is what the Yad Ramah says, and Rabbi Tam says in Tosfos, or Medina, as the Rush says? What does the Rush say? The Rush says, this is not a special takana like you're in the time of the Yad Ramah says. Well, what does the Yad Ramah say? The Yad Ramah says, you know what? There's a difference between two types of knas. There's a difference between chatzi nezek and all the other knasos. All the other knasos are more than you damaged, like kefil and dalav hay, for example. Chatzi nezek is less than you damaged. Says the Yad Ramah, Tfisa only works in Chatzi Nezek, not in the other Knossos. Why? Says that the Takana D'Rabbanan, the guy shouldn't lose. So they made it Takana D'Rabbanan by Chatzi Nezek that I shouldn't lose. After all, your dog ate my sheep. I'm out 300 shekel. At least I should get back 150. But by Karen and Kefil and Dalva Hay, they didn't make it Takana. Why should I gain? Now, I understand there's a logical reason philosophically, but it's not the end of the world if you steal 1,000 shekel. I mean, you give me back 1,000 shekel, and you don't give me back 2,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. So they only made it to avoid a loss, not to allow a gain. Says the Rush, that makes a lot of sense. If it's a takana, I'm with you. They should make a takana so a guy shouldn't lose his principal, not so he should gain an additional penalty. But who says takana? This is not a takana. This is me'ikra din. Me'ikra din, the guy owes you money. He owes you the knas. The knas is in the Torah. He owes you the knas. It's in the Torah. But you can't collect it in Bavol because we don't have smuchin. Okay, so you can't collect it. But there's a principle of avadin ishdino l'nafshe. Even if Bezin can't collect it, you have the right to collect in some circumstances. So, therefore, you're just collecting what's owed you. You're allowed to collect what's owed you. I understand Bezin can't do it, they're not smuchin. But you're not a Bezin. You are the party. And the party has the right to the money that you are owed. So that's the fundamental machlokas. And what are the nafkaminas? The nafkaminas are, let's start with the nafkamina that the Rush starts with, right? Which kenosos? Says the Ramah, only chatzi nezek tam, because you would lose the principal. Only chatzi nezek tam, they felt bad for you because you're losing the money you had, but not kefil and dalav hay, because why should they make a takana for you to gain money? Well, says the Rush, all kenosos. What do you mean? It's not a takana. It's logical. He owes you the money. Bezdin can't enforce it. Bezdin can't enforce it. But, and obviously, you can't enforce it using violence. No one's saying that toughest means
You can break down his door and come and take it. No, no, you're not a bastard. You're not government authority. But if you happen to get your hands on his money, then he owes you took the money that was rightfully yours. No problem. Another nafkamina could, we'll make this a little more complicated in a moment. Let's see. A box here. Another nafkamina could be what we started with Rabbeinu Tam, right? Which is what can you grab? Says Rabbeinu Tam. Here, it's not 100% clear. Says Rabbeinu Tam, since it's only takana, they only let you grab the mazik itself. Only the guf hamazik itself. While, on the other hand, if it was an actual din, right? The rush holds the actual din, and the rush says you can grab whatever you want, right? Kol mechasav. Right, and that makes sense. However, it's not so pashut because the Yad Rama did not restrict it to grabbing the mazik itself. You could say even as takana, they wanted you to be able to take any money. So it's not crazy to say, right? Say kol mechasav as a takana, and that's lechora. The sheet of the Rama. The Rama never says like Rabbeinu Tam, so I assume he doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam until proven otherwise. Okay, even if Rabbeinu Tam says this has to do with this question, Rabbeinu Tam says that Kana had to go in a totally different angle, you know, through the secret passage. Well, the Rama says no, it's the Takana. We'll let you grab whatever you want, and then we'll adjudicate later and make you give back the change. And theoretically, even if you say it's a din. You could say that, at, like the Ritva, that at least in some cases you can only grab it, go for Mazik, right? So what could you also say? Rashi doesn't say this, and the Rambam doesn't say this, and the Rush doesn't say this. But you could also say, not you can only take go for Mazik in all cases, but what you could also say, like the Ritva. And the one day in the Tosis Rid, which is that in Kefel, Dalad Vehei, the Chuli, you can collect, you can grab all his property because it's not limited to be Gufo, but in Chatzi Nezek Tam, you can only take Guf HaMazik, not because Takana limits you to Guf HaMazik, because the Din limits you to Guf HaMazik, because Tam is only Mishalim Gufo. Again, that's assuming Tam Mishalim Gufo means you only have the right to the Guf and not you have a Shibud on him in the amount of the Guf.
Rabbeinu Tam Tainer, someone, the dog ate the chicken, ate the cat, the sheep, and he takes the diamond ring for which was valued $1 million. I mean, and there's no smuching, so, I mean, how, yeah, according to the Rosh, who else, is that possible? I mean,
according to the Rosh, no problem. He owes you $5 for half a chicken. You talk a $1,000 diamond ring, so according to the Rosh, he'll now take you to court, say, give me back my diamond ring. You'll say, you owe me $5 for the chicken. Well, and the court will say,
I can take court. There's no smoking. There's no
ding. But according to the Rush, you, as long as court's not making you pay the knas, they're allowed to judge the knas, right? They're just not allowed to make you pay the knas. And court would say, you owe a knas of $5. You owe the ring. They'd say, give him $5. He'll give you back the ring. And if you say, I refuse to give him $5, they'll tell the other guy, keep the ring, give him $995 change. Sell the ring, keep $5, give him back the change. Mastam, he'll want to give you the $5. Okay, so here we have a machlokas, whether it's takana, or, I know I left a little blank there, or whether it is a, or whether it is a din. What's the yesod of this machlokas? Whether our sugya is takana, or whether it's a din. Right, I mean, that's like an independent hakir in our sugya. Our sugya has this chiddush of tfisa. Interesting question. Is tfisa medina? Or is tfisa a special takana just so that people shouldn't take advantage? Okay, nafkamina is, basically, if it's a medina, it should be broad and just correspond to what would have happened in Eretz Yisrael in all cases. If it's takana, it might be limited. Maybe only to cases where he's losing principle, not to cases of Kevon Dal Behei, maybe only to grabbing the mazik itself, like Rabbeinu Tam, because this takana really has to work non-judicially, or maybe not. But what underlies that? What underlies that is the question of whether it's valid Medina to be Tofes Knas or not, right? Is it valid? If it's valid, if Medina you have the right to be Tofes Knas, then the Rush is right. If Medina you don't have the right to be Tofes Knas, then the Yad Raman or Rabbeinu Tam are correct. Medina, do you have the right to be Tofes Knas or do you not? This seems to be a very, very fundamental hakira about the nature of knas. Let's compare knas and mamon, right? Mamon means what I naturally owe you, right? I lent you money, I have to pay you back. I damaged you with Adama Mazik and Shane Varegel. I have to pay you back. I stole, I have to pay you back the Karen. Okay, why do I have to pay you back? Because of the maisa that I did, or that happened. Knas is a fascinating question, right? Knas seems to be something that is not a natural result of my actions. After all, it's not the amount that I owed you. It is a Torah-imposed penalty, which is usually, meaning, except for our case, you know, at least potentially more than the damage that I did. Certainly, Kefal and Dal Behei are more than the damage that I did. Why? What makes me owe you a knas? So I think there are two ways to view this, and I should have put the other Yerushalmi Ksubas here. I apologize. The Yerushalmi is even clearer in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Ksubas. Let me read it to you. The Yerushalmi from the very beginning of the fourth paragraph of Ksubas, just like a couple, two pages after the one I put here. If I have it here, maybe I don't. Someplace here. Yeah. Knas a Masai hum is chayev. When are you chayev knas? Rav Yona Amar Mishar Mishona. Rav Yona says from the original time. Rav Yossi Amar Basof at the end. What are they arguing? What is mechayev you knas? I understand. Let's go back to Mamon for a moment. In Mamon, what's mechayev me is my action. The Maisa is mechayev me Mamon. Let's say there were no bezin in the world. Let's say we lived on a desert island. Let's say no one knew anything. I'd still be chayev. What about knas? So Rab Yonah said, Mishar Rishona. Knas also, the Torah says I'm chayev Mishar Rishona. I understand. I'm not going to pay it unless you have a bezdin and a bezdin of smuch. Right? But I'm chayev Mishar Rishona. I am chayev retroactively. I'm chayev Mishar Rishona. Rabbi Yossi says, no, basof. I'm only chayev when Bezdin judges me to be chayev. Now, okay, you could read this in more than one way, but perhaps what they're arguing about is what is the mechayev of knas? Is the maisa mechayev in knas? Just there are certain conditions for collecting that? Or no, the maisa not mechayev in knas. It's a knas. What's mechayev miknas? Bezdin is mechayev miknas. The psak din creates the chi of knas. It's not that the bezdin is mevarer the chi of knas. Bezdin creates the chi of knas. So again, when it comes to chiyuvei mamon, I'm chayev objectively. Bezdin has to mevarer the chi of. When it comes to knas, maybe I'm chayev objectively. Objectively, because the Torah said so. And bezdin has to mevarer the chi of with stricter rules. Such as Moed B'Knas Pater, and such as Smuchin, and such as Edim, etc. Or, no, maybe the reason this reason Moed is Pater, and you need Edim, and you need Smuchin, is because my action is not Mechayiv the Knas. What's Mechayiv the Knas? Bezdin creates the Knas out of thin air. They're Yotzer the Knas, not Mevara the Knas. Because that's the nature of a Knas. It's something which is judicially created by the judicial process.
According to that, according to Tzad, that it's only the Bezdin that makes the Knas, that means, let's say in the case of Geneva, you have two Chiyuvim, you have Chiyuv of the Keren, Bishas Geneva, and an additional Chiyuv at Bishas.
And if you recall the Rivet that I put on the sheet, even though I apologize, the copy of the Rivet had on the computer is not the clearest print, but the Rivet pointed out that that is a Mefurish Gemara. Now, it's a big machlokes. We've shown them how to read that Mefurish Gemara. It's an exceedingly complex sugya. But let me read you a fascinating Gemara on Daf Samech Vav.
Says the Gemara. I'll just read you the important line. The Amar Rav. Keren Ke'in Shaganav. Tashlumi Kefa with Tashlumi Dal Rehe Kashas Hamad Bedin. Now, exactly what the case here is unclear. Is it Yukarazula? Let's say this. I steal from you, one of the sheets is in the sugya. I steal a cow from you. When I steal it, it's worth $100. When you sue me and we have a verdict, it's worth $90. So how do I pay? I pay 90 or I pay 100? Says Rav, and we possibly like him. Karen, I pay 100, like the time of the Geneva. Kefal and Dalvehe, I pay 90. So if it's Kefal, I pay 190. If it's Dalid, I pay 370. If it's Hay, I pay 460. Right? Why is that? Now, there are different opinions why that is. The Ravid says, you know why? Karen, I pay like the time I stole it, because I'm chayiv for stealing it. The stealing is mechayiv mi Karen. Kefal and Dalvehe, I pay the value as of Shasam Adab Din, because stealing is not mechayiv mi Kefal and Dalvehe. Only the Pesach Din is Mechayim and Kefal and Dalvehe. And as Aaron said, does that mean there are two totally different Chiyuvim? Totally. Does that mean there are two different Chiyuvim? Yes, that's exactly what the Rambam says. They are two different Chiyuvim. That's why one is evaluated B'Shas Kneva, and the other is evaluated B'Shas Hamad
Abedin. And you could do it in Babel too. In other words, you could Mechayim and Kevin and Babel.
And of course, you Mechayim and Kevin and Babel, as we know. Yes, they're two different Chiyuvim. So that is Yesh Lachbar here. What creates the chiyuv of knas? Is it the maisa? However, there's many other conditions that come into play. You need bezdin. To pay, and moda is potter, etc. Or is it the gemar din? Maybe that is the machlokas in the Yerushalmi between Rav Yona and Rav Yossi, whether it's Mishar Rishona, or what's their lashon? I'll read it again. Knasim Asum Mischayev, Rav Yona, Mishar Rishona, Rav Yossi, Omar Basof. Okay, we're not getting into this totally now. We have very little time till the end of the year. That's certainly the Pashup shot, right? This would seem to be in the Yerushalmi, Subos, Alan Aleph, Rabbi Yonah says, Misha Rishona, and Rabbi Yossi says, Basof. Maybe their argument at this question. This question could have, even before we get to our sugya, could have a gazillion nafkaminas. Like, for example, there's a big discussion of Tosfos and the Rashba later on in Baba Kama in Daf Ayin and Dalid. What's another example of Knas? Shein Ba'ayin. Funny kind of Knas.
Yeah.
Right? Right, if I knock out my Eved, Kanani's tooth or eye, or poke out his eye, or break any other limbs, then he goes free. And that's a Knas, after all. I don't know how much is his tooth worth. Not a ton. Not as much as him. No part of his body is worth as much as him.
If it was a gold tooth, maybe.
Then I'm probably Potter, because it's not really part of him. So when does he become free? I mean, is it a big nafkamina when an Eved is free and when he's a slave? Is he free lemafreya from when I knocked out his tooth? Or is he only free from Shas Gemar Din? Very complicated sugya later on, without getting into it. Right, here's the old question of, right, when does the Eved become a Ben Chorin in the case of Shein V'ayin? Right? The Rashba in Daf Ayin Dalet and Beis says, Mishas Maisa. Says the Rashba, you know what? It says, Mikol, let me read one line if I can find it to you. Nimtza ben chorin lima freya. Elishik zirus a kosmi shalol holtzi l'chiris elya al de edim. He is a ben chorin lima freya. You need edim. There's a tznai of edim. There's a lot of conditions. It's not going to happen naturally on its own. There's a lot of conditions. But he's lima freya. Tosfos there says no way, no how. only Bishas Gemar Din, not Lemafrei at all. So what are they arguing about? It could be they're arguing about, is the mites really in high? You just need to meet certain conditions. You need a Tanai. Or, no, the mites not Machayiv anything. Bezdin creates this out of thin air. Another interesting machlokas might be, although it's not such machlokas, is how about let's say Shivi Shemayim? Let's say I'm a good person. Should I pay the knas? If I'm a good person, should I pay the knas? I say, I want to do the right thing. I don't care what people force me. Should I pay the knas or not? Fascinating question. Right? So you could say this depends on this issue as well. What about a piyuv lotzei shidei shamayim? The Yerushalmi says, Mefurish. Oh, I think I did put this here.
Yes.
Right? Ma'al sheyomer lotzei shidei shamayim. We can learn from the story of Rabbi Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel accidentally knocked out Tavi's tooth and says, okay, great, now I'm going to free him. And they said, no, you can't because you don't have a Yerushalmi Beis Din. Why do you feel Latsay Shemayim? This shows there's no Chi of Latsay Shemayim, and many Rishonim in many places assume there's no Chi of Latsay Shemayim. That makes a lot of sense. And meaning, if there's no Adam, let's say there's no Adam, are you Chi of Latsay Shemayim? And Chi of Latsay Shemayim. Why? Because you don't really owe the money. It's not that Bezdin can't force you. It's that you don't actually owe the money. If you don't actually owe the money, then, which is a Mefurish Yerushalmi, and many Rishonim all over Shas assume there's no Chiyuv Latzeis, there's no Chiyuv Latzeis Yedei Shamayim, which makes a lot of sense. If really you don't owe anything, till Bezdin creates a Chiyuv, if Bezdin can create a Chiyuv, then there's no Chiyuv at all. It's not like I owe the money, you can't force me. I don't owe the money at all.
But let's say onus v'fata motzishem. So it isn't like Geneva and Keitel. I mean, either there is the knas or there isn't. There isn't the knas.
So there is.
So there isn't. That means that the Torah says that what you did is of no significance until you go to Beis Din.
Well, keep in mind there are other things you have to pay, like Moshe Pagan, but let's talk about the knas. Correct. What you did, again, we're not talking about, let's remember, we're not talking about whether you're a good person or a bad person for doing it. It was an aveira to do it. We're talking about...
With the compensation.
There's no, right, correct. Meaning, there's just no compensation. It's a knas. There's no compensation. Well, you don't owe any compensation. Bezdin can create a chiyuv on you, but you don't naturally owe any compensation.
I don't want to get philosophical, but a chiyuv, let's say, today's your mind, has many different levels. And it could be that you have this level or not, but you could have a level that, you know, it could make me a nice, I want to clear myself up, I will pay. That's, say,
yeah, but even that, the Yerushalmi seems to assume doesn't exist. Yeah, now, here it's a little unclear, because you could say maybe the Yerushalmi just meant the Dohi of Lotz Yishamayim when it comes to the Yasei of Olam Ha'em Tavodu, but in other cases, maybe there would be some vague moral imperative, or if not imperative, at least preference, in a Hanami. You're right. You could say, well, the Yerushalmi just meant there's no Chiyav Mamish that would override the Olam Ha'em Tavodu. Okay, let's keep that in mind. I just want to point out another few things, and then we'll have to leave it for now. There's a fascinating machlokes. What about Mechila the Knas? Can I be Mochel the Knas before we go to Beis Din? Or is that a Davar Shel Boli Olam and I can't be Mochel? The Yerushalmi Rizana Machlokes in Ksubas Per Gimel Halacha Zayin, whether you're, let's say the woman, right, the Anusa and the Mafuta, could she be Mochel the Knas before she goes to Beis Din? Especially if she's a Mafuta, she's automatically Mochel the Knas, right? After all, she agreed, right? So, let's assume.
Sorry.
Can you be Mochel the Knas before you go to Beis Din? So the Yerushalmi there brings a machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Mana, seemingly. Can you be Mochel the Knas, or is it Davar Shel Boli Olam? Let me just see if I can find that Yerushalmi. I think I can. Give me half a second. Says the Yerushalmi here. V'yesha de mochel al darshe in bershuso. Can you be mochel something that you don't have yet? Nishmina ben adad. Amir abom v'yisir wazir. Knas eimbo v'shar rishona. You don't have the knas v'shar rishona. Not till Beis Din. Right? Etc. So Rav Chista says,
So Rav Mana says, "Honus chayv in fatu patur." No, you can be mochel everything. Rav Avin Amar Shami boy ma honus chayv in fatu patur. Honus chayv kol in fatu patur. Boshet bekam chayv knas. Okay. And Rabbi Avin and Rav Chista say, nah, you can be mochel boshet bekam. You can't be mochel knas. Why? Because there's a darsh laboli olim. So this might have to do with the same question. What about mechilas knas kodem hamada bedin, which is discussed in the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli is only diyukim. But in the Yerushalmi, Gimel Zayin, it's explicit, says Rav Mana that she can be mochel. That makes sense if the knas really exists. I understand the conditions have to be put in place, but the chiv is basically there. However, says Rav Chista and Rav Avin, nope. Eina yechola limchol. It's a davar shel bali olam. They don't use the phrase bali olam. They use eina bershuso. Right? It's a davar shel bali olam. You can't be mochel davar shel bali olam. It doesn't exist yet. I can't be mochel something that'll exist later. And the most fascinating machlokas is the discussion of Tosos Naflam and Chesed Bezing Subas and many other Rishonim there. How about Yerusha and Daflam Bezing Subas all over Ksubas? How about Yerusha? Let's say you owe Ruvain a knas. Right? You owe Ruvain a knas and he dies. Do his kids inherit the knas? Before Hamad Abedin. After Hamad Abedin Pasha. Right? You stole from Ruvain, you own Kefel. And he dies. Do you owe his kids kefal? Right? If you really owe the money, then his kids should be able to inherit that debt, just like every other debt. If you really don't owe anything yet, then maybe they should not be able to inherit that debt. So that's a whole big machlokas there. Is there Yerusha and Knas? Is there not Yerusha and Knas? How about Yerusha b'Knas? Again, all kodim gmar din. After gmar din, then you owe the money, there's nothing to talk about. But that's 2 days in Tosos in Ksubos, and I know you can make this more complicated, but we'll leave it at this for now. Says the Ri, that you can't be Morish Knas. If the guy died, ain Morishes Knas Livna. You owe a girl Knas, and she dies, her relatives don't inherit it. However, says the Ri Halavan, a different Ri, he says, no, not true. Varia Lavan, etc., etc. Okay. He says you can. So, says the Riha Lavan. says the Riha Lavan. What's the phrase he uses? The Morish Knas Livno. You can't be Morish the Knas to your kid. Yeah, if the guy dies, the kid gets a Knas. Says the Ri in Tosos. This is Tosos. Ksubas Lamed Chesed and Beis brings this Machlokes Rishonim, but it's Rishonim all over Ksubas. Ein Adam Morish Knas Livno. The Gemara there sounded explicitly like if you owe the girl Onis Mefata and she dies, then her relatives inherit. He says that means Bosh Shubgam, it doesn't mean the Knas. So basically, we have this whole machlokas. To what extent does knas exist before Hamad of Adin, or does it not? Is the knas really there? However, with conditions and strings attached and restrictions, right? No, everyone knows modu knas is pater. There are ways of getting out of it. Or, no, the knas is created by Beis Din. It doesn't exist at all before Beis Din. There are facts that exist before Beis Din. There's background, but until the Gemar Din, the knas does not exist. It's davar shelo boli olam, davar sheino b'reshuso. This l'chora should affect our sugya. How do we get into this? Our sugya. What about tfisa? Right? If you say the mice is really mechayiv the knas, just there are conditions and restrictions, then you should say, like the Rosh. Tfisa mehani midina. Where's the Gemar Din? Interesting question, the Rosh. Where's the Gemar Din? So the Chora, he has to say one of two things. One is a little too radical for me. He says, well, since Avdin is Dila Nafshe, you are like Dayanim Smuchim and you created Gmar Din when you grab. That seems to be a little hard. I understand Avdin is Dila Nafshe. The person can take the law into their own hands sometimes, but that doesn't mean that they're like Dayanim Smuchim
and they can create things. That's Elof. So what? Shot in the Rush? The Rush says no one needs to create the Knas. The Knas is there. There are rules and restrictions for how we collect the Knas. We can't collect the Knas without Eidim. We can't collect the Knas without Smuchim, but it's there. And therefore, you have the right to be Tofes it. What does the other Rishonim say, like the Ramah ever being a Tam? No. It's only a Takana. Of course, Medina, you can't collect this. How can you collect this? What collect what? Bezdin needs to create the Knas. The guy doesn't owe you the money till you mark din. And there's no mark din, so you don't have Smicha nowadays. Or in those days, they didn't have Smicha and Buffer. Rather, they made a Takana in certain limited cases because, you know, it was societally necessary to not let people get away with certain things or to give people recourse in certain situations. So that might be Toloi on this Chakira. It's fundamental Chakira about Knas might underlie the two ways of understanding our Soda. Now I just want, yes?
Even if it's a Takana, could you say, the guy says, look, I know what's going to happen, I know in Bezdin they're going to do this and this, I'm going to grab this now while I can. If they go against me, I'll give it back.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
It could be that Tfisa would hold, even if it's a Takana.
Tfisa does hold. The Gemara says Tfisa holds. The question is, why does Tfisa hold? Does Tfisa hold because that's the Dindo Raisa, or does Tfisa hold as a Takana?
No, for Knas. Was Tfisa hold for Knas?
That's exactly
a
what...
Future Knas, right?
Tfisa holds for a Knas, except the Kohen Rebbe Tam, they're only Chatzi Nezek Knas, only Gofam Mazik. But Tfisa holds for a Knas, that's the point of our Gemara. The question is why? Limited Takana or general rule? Now, here's what's fascinating is the Raivit. And I want to end this part of the shiur with the Raivit. The Raivit is very convinced of this side of the Chakira. Very convinced of this side of the Chakira. And then he's bothered by a few things. Why is he convinced of the side of the Chakira? Mostly because of this Gemara in Daf Samach Vav that I mentioned, which there are other ways to interpret. But he says, why in Keren do I pay Keren and I evaluate it as of Shas Gneva? But Kefal and Dal Behe, I evaluate as of Shas Amad B'din, says Pashat, because the Machayib of Keren is the Gneva, and the Machayib of Kefal and Dal Behe is the Amad B'din. Very simple. And then he's bothered by a few things. One of which he doesn't say he's bothered by, but he mentions Agav Orcha Tfisa, right? In his piece, in the second piece, Lamed Hei Bei, he says, Itofas lo mafkina minei, right? But he's bothered by a few things. Let's see some things he's bothered by, which other Rishonim have other ways to get out of, right? So, for example, turn to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. In Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara brings a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which we mentioned. We actually mentioned the Daf Yudalim Beis by Parsha Yizika Talos and Talos Yizika Paris and Par in Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat. What does it mean, Meshalami Gufo, right? Remember, Akiva says it means Yuchla Hashor, that we become partners in the Shor. I actually become part owner of the Shor when you damage me. Rabbi Shmuel says to me, Yusham Hashor, I just have a Shibud on the Shor. I have a lien on the Shor, but it's still your Shor. You just owe me money, but that debt is a, what do they call it? Restricted debt? What do they call it when I can only collect certain assets?
Limited.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Restricted debt, whatever it may be. That it's limited to those assets. Now, the Gemara here has a whole discussion, which we're not going to totally get into. But let's look at the turn to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph to the sixth line. Tana Rabbanan. Shor shev shav masayim shenagach shor shev masayim v'chol bo v'chamishim zoz v'shivach v'omer al abrim yos zoz shel moli ziko yomer shonu yos zoz nosik shasa nezek. Okay, leave that. Kiches shasa mad v'din. If the value of the shor goes down, then you evaluate it as of hamad v'din. Shibeach mazik nosik shasa nezek. If the value of the shor hamazik goes up, you give it to him as of the time of the nezek. Okay, what if we're not talking about chas nevela. Let's say I'm the aggressor. My ox killed your ox. My ox goes up in value or down in value. If it goes up in, and you get migufo, right? So you want to know how much it's worth. If it goes up in value, you can only collect the original value of the time of nezek. If it goes down in value, then you can only collect what it's worth now, b'shas amad b'din. Amar mar shibeach mazik nosing shas nezek mani b'rishmal hita amar balchofu v'zuzi hu demasik leit. Ema Seifa, etc., etc. Okay, without going through the whole discussion, what do they say? Shibeach Mazik. My ox damaged your ox. Right? And did 200 shekel of damage, so I owe you 100. My ox is only worth 60, so you can only collect 60. My ox went up in value. Now it's worth 80. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, your lien is only 60. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you owned the ox all along, so you have a greater lien on this ox. So the Ravid is bothered by this. Right? The Ravid on Daf Lamed Daled is bothered by this. And he says, what do you mean you owned this ox all along? After all, right, you didn't own this ox all along. You don't own it till Amad Bedin.
Yeah.
And what does he say? Here I'm reading from the part that I singled out, that I specify. How can Rabbi Akiva say you're a shutof, you own part of my ox from the time of the Nezek Lamafreya? Very explicitly. The bez is the mechayiv the knas, not the actions mechayiv the knas. Like we quoted. Lo kasha, not difficult. Hasam leka. Okay, before we get to the answer, he says, hold on. How can Rabbi Akiva say you collect retroactively, originally, from the moment of damage? Knas, you only collect later. He has a similar question in Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis. Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis. Now, what do some of the other Mefarshim say? They say, yeah, when we said you collect all along in that Sugi and Daf Lamed Daled, we really meant from Hamad Abedin, not from the time of the Nezek. What do we have in Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis? This whole question. Your ox damaged my ox, but we have a machlokas. I say the big ox damaged the big ox, and the small ox damaged the small ox, which means that I'm going to get more money. Right, because I say like this chatzin nezek is 100 was done by 100 ox. This chatzin nezek is 50 was done by 50 ox. I collect all the chatzin nezek. You say no, the 50 did the 100 and the 100 did the 50, so I only collect 100, not 150. So we have machlokas. So okay, it says a multimeter all of haraya. Fine, a whole sugya as though who wins. Says the Ravid, what are you talking about in the first place? No one wins anything. If it's my word against your word, there's no edim. If there's no Eidim, there's no Knas. There's nothing to talk about. I mean, who cares, right? What's the discussion? If there are Eidim, it's the Eidim. And if there aren't Eidim, then there's nothing to talk about. Since when do you pay Knas without Eidim? Okay, there are answers. What some of the other Mefarshim say there is, there are Eidim and the Eidim are unclear. And then you get into a whole, almost philosophical, epistemological machlokas. If Eidim say they're unclear about something, does that count as Eidus or not? Fascinating machlokas all over Shas. Can Adam testify that there's a 50-50 suffix? Or is that not valid testimony? Right? For example, Adam who say, we saw a suffix kiddushin. Is that woman now suffigacious-ish? Or we say, no. Adam can only tell us things. They can't tell us not knowing things. Okay. Without getting into it, says the Raven in both these places, what does he say? He says, let's start with Daflamet. Hey, ikashalachim kein modu knasu. It's molded b'knas on his pshat and daf lamehei amid beis. It's just my word against your word. I admit, I claim the bigger knas. You admit the smaller knas. So they get into a whole sugya of chita and sorin, etc. Says the rabbi, why get into a sugya? There's nothing to talk about. You don't go off the ground. Says the rabbi, something wild. Lo dami hai knasa l'shar knasos. Da hal kakarnu hu d'mashalim, da filu kuli karnu. The knas of chatzin nezik is not like other knasos. Other knasos, you're paying extra. It's a fine, a penalty. Here, you're only paying what you damaged, and you're not even paying everything you damaged. You're paying less than you damaged. And if you're moda, basically tells you to pay if you're moda. No, you have to pay if you're moda. Because you top slow of kidding day. Of course you have to pay if you're moda. I can even grab. Clearly you're chayiv, right? You top slow of kidding, says the Raven. In other knossos, we wouldn't say tafas lomav kinami. Tfisa wouldn't work in kefal and dalar behei. No, but it would work in Chatzi Nezek. Likewise, a mode that doesn't have to pay in Kefal and Dalvehei, but a mode that Knas has to pay in Chatzi Nezek. And that's also what he says in Daf Lam Dal and Aleph. What does he answer? He answers that Lo Kasha Hasam Leka Shutfusa V'yutu D'Mishalim. In the other kind of Knasas, you're not a Shutfus, Shutuf. You're paying extra. Rachmona Rosh Hashanah Olokim. Only when Bezdin convicts you, you're chayiv. Well, hacha came to shutfahu, since you become a shutf, miki asava ode shorcha hemes shorcha ploni vikarnin v'chayvile. Once they tell you that it happened, once you know that it happened, once it happened, and you're chayiv keren, ikadim mode v'edina namilu mifter, and if you're mode, you don't become potter for this. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmuel. If I'm Moda, let's say I go to court of Moda and then Edom comes, Machlokes, Rab, and Shmuel, we mentioned briefly in the Gemara, Moda, Knas, Chakrabo, Edom, everyone agrees in Chatzi Nezek. Moda, Knas, Chakrabo, Edom is not Potter. Because that's only when I'm Moda and I'll say, I'll pay the Karen, I'll be a nice guy. You're Potter from Kefil, even if Edom come. Over here, I'm saying, I'm Moda, I'll pay nothing. You know, that's just because you don't want to pay someday. Okay, very clear. Says the Raavad, there's a fundamental difference between different kinds of knas. There's two parshas of knas, which are not the same parshas of knas. There's regular knas, which is extra, which is moda is putter, and you're only chayim mikana lahava from gardin. And there's chatzi nezek, which is just paying what you damaged. Not even everything you damaged, just part of what you damaged. And that moda is chayav, and you're chayav l'mafreya. The Rashi says this is ridiculous. You can't say moda is chayav and chatzi nezek knas, because our whole Gemara explicitly said, remember the Shakta Matari of Ar Sugya? It was all about whether moda is chayav or potter. Tapa tesvav and beis. Tashma, hey mishori, is ploni yisho, shal ploni yisho, mishalom al pi atzmo. My lad, the Tam, doesn't Tam pay al pi atzmo? Lo b'muad, no, Tam doesn't pay al pi atzmo. Our whole sugya assumes moda is potter. So what's the Raavad saying? So the Rashba suggests something and says ridiculous, but the Meiri says, I know exactly what the Raavad is saying. The Meiri says, a lot of people misinterpreted the Raavad and they thought the Raavad was stupid. But really, they're stupid. The Raavad made very poshut. Of course he didn't mean Bezdin's mechayiv you based on your hodah. That's impossible. That's against our sugya. Our sugya says, moda mikanas is potter. What he meant is that Bezdin tells you your chayiv lotse shidei shamayim. And Kefel and Dalet Behayin, etc. If you come to them and say, I'm Moda, I stole. They say, pay back the Karen, but don't bother the rest. If I come to Bezin and say, I'm Moda Chatzi Nezek Tam, Bezin says, we can't force you to do anything because we don't have smicha and there's technicalities, but you should really pay. But if you want to be good, you know, if Bezin would say, you know, we can't force you to pay anything, but look, Taka, soon enough is going to be Yom Kippur. How are you going to stand up there in shul? You know, what's going to be? You know, you should really pay. That's the right thing to do. That's your chi of Latzei Shadei Shemayim. And that's what the Raavad meant. He didn't mean Mode Bechatzi Nezek is Chayev. That would be against our sugya. So the Raavad says there's Sveidinim in Knas. Says the Raavad. Let's just get the Raavad. Stick the Raavad in here. Says the Raavad. He says, Beis Dinim, there is Shar Knossos, and there is Chatzi Nezek. What's the difference? Chatzi Nezek, a mode is Chayav, Lotse Sidei Shemayim. Bezdin tells him to pay. Again, he doesn't mean Bezdin collects. That would be against our Gemara. Bezdin tells him you must pay, but in Shar Knossos, no. Ein Chayav, Lotse Sidei Shemayim. In Chatzi Nezek, he's chayav l'mafreya mishas hezek. And other knossos is only chayav mishas gemardin. Says the Raavad, there's two different kinds of knas. One kind of knas is an artificially imposed, created fee of later. Why? Because it's more than you owe. The other kind of knas is within what you owe. It's less than you owe. It's less than keren. Of course you're naturally chayav all along. It's not the same kind of knas as that. It's in some way similar to that knas. In what way is it similar to that knas? Since it is a special rule, we can't force you to do it without proper judicial procedures. But you really do owe the money. But you really owe the money milachachila. It's still a different lumdus than the other kinds of knas.
Haven't you really then narrowed Mimona and Knossa Chatzinez? You've brought it down.
Correct. According to the Raavad, the Machlokzin Chatzinez, Mimona Chatzinez, Knossa is not as broad as we thought. They're not arguing whether it's like other Mimona or like other Knossa. No, is it like other Mimona or is it a little like Knossa? But it's not Mamish Knossa, Lukuliyama. No one thinks it's Mamish Knossa. How can it be Mamish Knossa? You're not paying anything extra. You're paying something that is a bit of a chiddush. But you're not paying anything extra, And therefore, it's not a real knas exactly. Now let's go back here. What did the Ravid think? The Ravid thinks the chiyuv here of tfisa is medina, but only on chatzi nezek, says the Ravid. Right? But Ravid holds it's medina. How do we know he holds it's medina? Because he brings a raya from we have to add one more thing to the Ravid, right? Fisa mehani, which he says explicitly. Okay, it's a bit messy. Meant to be like below there. Tfisa doesn't work by other knossos, right? That was his third distinction. Says, obviously, no one would say you can be toe-face, kefal, dalahe, but why? Not like the Ramah. It's a takana. They only made a takana because they felt bad for this poor guy. They wouldn't make a takana, dalahe. No, holds medina, but only by chatzin ezek tam. If it's medina, why is it restricted to chatzin ezek tam? Because he holds up, he lumped this, the din is different by chatzin ezek tam. Chatzin ezek tam, the mice is mechayev. Just since it's a non-standard kind of chiyuv, there's certain technical restrictions in how we collect it. While other knossos he holds, you're not chayev anything till Bezin invents a chiyuv on you. So, interestingly, this nafkamina doesn't apply to all knossos or not. Simple chop, we say it's a nakana, only this one case. If it's a medina, all knossos, the rabbi says, no, even medina, there's two kinds of knossos, which are different lundas, not just different, you know, practical takanos. Okay, so, yes?
But we explained that the chatzi nezek, it's not that you saying that he really knows. He really doesn't know it. Best it says he doesn't know it. It's just we want to make sure he's careful in the future. So it's not money that he owes. It's a punishment or a warning to him not to do it in the future. So if he's moded, then he said, I accept this.
Okay, that's what everyone but the Ravid thinks, right? The Ravid, the Ravid does have what it says in our Gemara. Right, but the Ravid apparently understands you have to take what it says in our Gemara with a grain of salt. Right, what our Gemara means is not that you don't really owe anything; just we want to give you an incentive to be careful. What the Ravid says is that we can't naturally. Okay, let me formulate this Ravid carefully. What the Ravid is saying is that you don't have a pshia gemura, right, which creates a... you don't have a pshia gemura, which creates an automatic full chiyuv. Rather, you have some in-between level of pshia. Kihech the lintere the torah doesn't mean you didn't do anything wrong. It means you're responsible for what happens, right? We just want you to take a little more responsibility than we can actually catch you on. Right, but you were partially irresponsible. So if you were partially irresponsible, therefore, your chayiv lotzei sidei shamayim, there is some underlying chiyuv. Just, we can't enforce that chiyuv because you weren't grossly negligent, you're only partially negligent. Okay, I realize I still haven't explained it as well as I should, but that's the interesting shita of the Ravid. Okay, so that's about all we have to say for the Tfisa here. Again, 2 models of Tfisa, Takana, and by the way, 2 different models of Takana. There's Rabbeinu Tam's Takana model of having nothing to do with the amount you owe at all. Totally different ballgame, civil forfeiture. And the Yad Ramah's Takana model, which is, when we feel bad for you, we just let you collect the money. And then there is the Medina, but Medina... You can have Medina because all Knossos really Medina, you have the right to collect. Just there are technicalities in terms of Bezdin getting involved. Or like the Ravid, there's a fundamental difference, even though it's a surprise, it doesn't sound that way from our Gemara. Fundamental difference between Chatzi Nezek and all other Knossos. Chatzi Nezek, you really owe the money, just Bezdin has restrictions on enforcing it. While all other Knossos, you really do not owe the money. Okay, I want to just take a few minutes to finish up till the Mishnah. The next line of the Gemara says, Ben Kach Ben Kach Misham Tina Le Ad Misal Kezeka. Right? Ben kach, it's actually not 100% clear what ben kach means, interestingly. The Mika Yosef says it means whether the animal damaged or not, as long as he saw that it was going to damage. You could also say whether he was toe-faced or not, whether he demanded to go to Israel or not. But somehow, that's what most Rishonim sound like, only for damage. But whether you go to Israel or not, or whether you hold him in contempt for not going to Israel or not, whether he was toe-faced or not, we put him in chayrem for something having nothing to do with the damage, right? Until he gets rid of the danger. Meet Rabbi Nassan, because Rabbi Nassan, we make him keep Rabbi Nassan. Tanya, Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Nashuli, God will let him kill Rabbi Sok Beso, Yam Sulim Rub Sok Beso. How do we know it's an Isser Doraisa to have a dangerous dog in your house? Right? Some people have pit bulls as pets. And then they're like so surprised when it kills someone. They say, I didn't know this would happen. Right? So how do we know that's not valid? Or to keep a rickety ladder around. Right? And someone climb up the ladder and cast someone fall and die. Don't put murder in your house, right? Even though the original part of the pasuk was only talking about a maka on your roof. How do we know all other dangers are also asur? L'chorim yidoraisa. Right? L'sasim damim b'veisecha. You can't have anything dangerous. And therefore, in order to avoid the danger, we put you in having nothing to do with paying for what happened in the past. But you have to do something now. And if you don't fix the situation from now on, then we put you in chayrim for violating a lo sase. Now, here, there is a fascinating question, which is, excuse me. First of all, the Mari Katz points out, it's not clear to me, I don't know if you did better, figured out the shot of this Mari Katz better than I did, but it's not clear to me. Oh, you got it, Chaim? Okay, so get the board, please. It's not clear to me what this Mari Katz is actually trying to say. I'll read it to you. Because there seems to be some sort of disconnect in our Gemara. The Gemara, the Rabbi Nassan is clearly talking about what type of danger? Sakonis the Fashos, right? Someone could die. Our Gemara, what was in danger in our Gemara? The chickens and the sheep. Again, to us it doesn't seem so bad. If you're in business of chicken and sheep, right, where you live, right? All the shepherds when the Arabs come and steal their sheep, that's a big deal, right? But it's still not. I mean, there might be Sakonis Fashos, we did Bab Machteris also. But still, it still doesn't seem to be Sakonis Fashos. And that's what the Mari Katz in the Shidduch of Betzes points out here. He says something, but he says something cryptic. I'm not sure what he means. The Rav here quotes him, and it says he's also not sure what he means. Gives a few possibilities, which means we just don't know. What does he say here? Afal Gav, even though the Hat Rabbi Nassan Lo Ma'ir Behezek Mavon, Rabbi Nassan's not talking about monetary damages, Ki Hach Deshmeitzen, like our case, El Sakonis Fashos. He's talking about Sakonis Fashos, Ki Buchem Bekordel, Osasim Dovim Veisecha. In Shabbos they bring Masechta Shabbos, he means, not the day of Shabbos. He says, that makes sense. They bring him in a case of a scary dog who could cause a woman to miscarry. Okay, miscarriage is already Sakonis Nefashos, without getting into American politics nowadays. There's Taka, funny Bahag about this. But we assume that's called Sakonis Nefashos, right? We're Mechal Shabbos and Yom Kippur. To prevent a miscarriage. Okay, so that we understand. But over here, where it's just eating animals, afal gav. It's not clear to me, like, what's the end of that sentence, the afal gav? What was he trying to say? Even though this isn't really what Rabbi Nassim was talking about, therefore what? Right? So I think what he means is that, even though Rabbi Nassim was talking about Sakonis Nefashos, and we're talking about Hezek Mamon, nonetheless, we're extending Rabbi Nassan to our case as well. Even though it's not what he was talking about, it's still included. Now here, Yesh Layim, what does included mean? Included mi daraisa? Included mi drabanan? Do you say included mi daraisa because lo sasim damim? And what can damim mean? What does damim mean in Shas? Money. Money means money in Shas, right? Mashalim damim. Although not in Chumash, right? I'm pretty sure in Lashon Mikra, Damim only means life. So that would be a chiddush to say midaraisa, or you could say it's midrabanan. That would make a lot of sense. Midaraisa, someone dying is a big damage. And therefore, it's usher to even have a dangerous situation. Midrabanan, causing someone to lose money, is also a damage. Not on the same level. And therefore, midrabanan, you're not allowed to have things which would put people's money in danger. Okay, maybe he means it's an extension midrash banan of Rabbi Nassan. Midrash Nassan means an extension of midrash banan of Rabbi Nassan. Unless you want to say midaraisa damim means money, but that is that would be a very, very big chiddush.
It would be fun to say that Torah equates Sakonis Nefashos with because the whole Parshas Mishpatim deals with
dangerous things. It would be very hard to say. It's much easier to say Midrabanan.
I agree. Kidlun Ravne, etc. I agree. I'd be very reluctant to believe that this is Midaraisa. And that's what Dhamma means. I'd be much, more inclined to think, because all the Rishonim here seem to talk about the danger to money. Nah, this is Rabbanan extension of Inasan.
How do we know that you have to watch out and not that the other guy has to watch out?
Well, Rabbi Nassim teaches us there's a lav. If something's dangerous, the other guy doesn't have to watch out. You have to avoid it.
So Midrabanan, if something's dangerous economically, then also the other guy shouldn't have to watch out. You should have to you should have to avoid it. Okay. That's where Rabbi Katz seems to be going. He says, this is Mamonos, that's the Fashos, and Afagav, even so, it somehow works out. He doesn't finish the sentence. Let's assume that it is Midrabanan. And that's how most of the... That's how most of the Mefarshim understand that what's the Sasim Damim here. Basically, any Rishonim that I found, now a lot of Rishonim are not 100% clear, right? But any Rishonim that I found, how about the Lotasim Damim? Vivesecha here says the Mahari Katz, it's extension of Rabbi Nassan to Mamum, to Hezek Mamum, right? Don't have dangerous things in your house, even if they're only dangerous to property. Okay, that's an extension, l'chor midrabanan. That's how most of the Rishonim sound like. Right, they all talk about the money. And here we have a fascinating two deos in the rush. What are the two deos in the rush? What about a shor muad? Would this apply to a shor muad or not? Right, and this is the kach mashma mehar Rishonim. Here's a fascinating question. What about a shor muad? Is a shor muad dangerous to property? Well, at a simple level, is a shor muad dangerous to property? Certainly, he's a shor muad. So on the one hand, you say, a shor muad, you have to get rid of because Rabbi Nassan, which taka is a shita of one tana. Later on daf, lamed, where is it? Ein lo shmir ela besakin. Sorry, give me a second. It should be around here. Yes, mem vava mehevim mem alf. Rabbi Elazar ein lo shmir ela besakin. The only shmir for a shor muad is a shchita knife, meaning you can't have a shor muad. The Gemara says why, and it seems to be the answer, although it's not so clear. Alar amar bai, how you talking to Rabbi Elazar? Ketani Rabbi Nassan omer like Rabbi Nassan, right? Okay, sounds like it's potentially a problem, but maybe we'll come back to that. Second on 2 days. First says a shor muad for sure you have to get rid of. Then he says no, maybe a shor muad is no problem. Why? Because it's not really dangerous to anyone's money. Because what happens if a shor muad kills your ox? You pay how much? If you pay that as a shol, you haven't lost anything.
In theory.
Only time it causes loss of money, because you pay chatzi nezek. But muad doesn't cause loss of money. So here you have 2 days. Extension to hezek mama, you have 2 days in the rush. Rush, dea aleph, and the rush, dea beis. Rush, dea aleph says that it extends to any damage to property, even if he would be compensated. And therefore, it's asur lahachzik shor muad ligach behemos. Again, not dangerous to people. This shor would never mess with a person. A shor that's muach ligach behemos, first day in the rush says, asur lahachzik, is dangerous to property. Second day in the rush says, no. extends only to damage which would not be compensated. I.e. chatzi nezek, which is exactly our case, right? The dog that ate the sheep only pays chatzi nezek. Not only chatzi nezek, Bavel doesn't pay anything, right? Pays chatzi nezek or nothing in Bavel, right? Chatzi nezek or nothing in Bavel. Then it's for sure you're losing money, right? But a shor muad, which pays nezek shalem, in Eretz Yisrael we can have a shor muad, then there's not even nasa. What do you mean? It doesn't cause any damage. You get paid back. Again, I might not feel so comfortable with that. What do you mean I get paid back? I don't want to start suing you. But it's a balance of rights. On the one hand, I don't want you to damage me and then I'll have to sue you and get paid back. On the other hand, what we're going to tell you you're not allowed to hold on to your property. So, according to this pshat, mutter lehachzik shor hamuad ligach. Behemos, that's the Judaeus at the end of the Rush. That's a few words at the end of the Rush says, well, a shormua, that's really dangerous to property and should be usser. That's like the first subcategory of the Marikatz. Or he says, no, shormua, it's fine because it's not dangerous property. You'll pay back. It's only usser to have something which would damage property and not pay back.
But what happens is if you have the damage, you don't have witnesses, resident comes up, you're not going to have to pay.
That is a great kasha on the Rush. After all, he says, that's very nice in a theoretical world where everyone knew everything. But what about the fact that it could damage and there won't be Edim? It's a good kasha on the Rush. Apparently, the Rush is not worried about that. Maybe the guy can always taina that I'm an honest fellow, I'll pay without Edim. Right? It's mamon, not knas. However, who argues on all the Rishonim? Exactly, the Maharshal, the Yamshal Shlomo. Right? The Maharshal, the Yamshal Shlomo, argues. He says this is not an extension here. Mari Katz is wrong. The Rush is wrong. All the Rishonim are wrong. He says, the Rush, I like his conclusions, but they're all for the wrong reasons. He happened to coincidentally have reached some correct conclusions, but he didn't know what he's talking about. Says the Rush, there's no extension. No. There's no extension. If there's no extension, what are we doing very nothing here? We're saying that a dog that eats a sheep, it's dangerous to people also. What are you kidding? I understand. A dog that eats a cat is not dangerous to people. Right? That's part of the Pesach Seder. A cat that eats a mouse is not dangerous to people. But a cat that eats a chicken, that is a mutant cat. That is a Vilda Chaya. That's dangerous to people. So what does he say? He says there's no extension. Kelev she'achal seh. The chatul she'achal tarnigol, remember, only big one. At least the tarnigol is big, right? Mehavim sakona libnei adam. Yeah. These super duper wild animals are dangerous for people also. And that's what Rinasa meant. He meant that these crazed dogs and cats are dangerous for people. Oh, you say, who ever heard of a dog killing people? Well, that. Who ever heard of a cat killing people? Not all the time, but a crazy cat like this, you never know. Cats can kill people. There's a mice that wants an ADS of a chicken killing a person. Although that's, we wouldn't necessarily be able to predict in advance. So that's a fundamental machlokas. Is our Gemara be mechadesh, an extension of Rabbi Nassan? Meaning not the Gemara in Shabbos, which has causing miscarriages. Is our Gemara extending Rabbi Nassan? And then the Rush has 2 days how far he's extending Rabbi Nassan? Only to uncompensated damage to property or even to compensatable damage to property? Or no, there's no extension here. We're just making a judgment call here. We're telling you that, well, based on what we've observed out the world, crazy cats and dogs like this are dangerous to people as well. And the Yamshal Shlomo explains the Yamshal Shlomo. This answers a kasha that the Rush asks. Ask the Rush, hold on a second. This is chatzi nezek tam, right? This dog that ate sheep and cat that ate chickens is chatzi nezek tam. So hold on. Every short tam you're not allowed to keep? That's not true. Of course you're allowed to keep a short tam. That's what becomes a muad. Not to mention the fact that in the Mishnah, you need machloks tanaim by short time, do you need shmir meula or shmir pechuta? No one says you have to get rid of a short time, right? Even a short muad, we don't paskin like that, Rabbi Eliezer. But at least there's someone who says you have to shech the short muad. No one says you have to shech the short time. Why are you allowed to keep a short time, right? Question is, why does Rabbi Nassan apply to the Kelev and the Chatul and not a short time? No one ever said you have to get rid of a short time. You just think Shmir Ma'ul or Shmir Bechuta. No one said. So, answers the Yamshel Shlomo, very simple. A short time is not dangerous for people because a short time is not crazy, just a little wild. This kind of dog are dangerous to people because they are beyond the bounds of normalcy. Now, again, I might have said I'm more scared of the shore than of the cat and dog. That's his assumption. So, answers the Yamshel Shlomo. Is that the Kelev and the Chatul are dangerous to people, but the short time is not. Remember what we said? Muad levehema, lo havi muad la'adam. Okay, and then let's get into the whole machlokas. Remember we pointed out later on between Rav Zvid. Work it out in a way that it's not muad for people, right? It's dangerous to people. Short time isn't. The truth is the Rush says you can get to that result without the Yamshel Shlomo, says the Rush. What does the Rush say? Here it's going to be a little more dachuk, right? But maybe. He says, no, the Kelev and the Chatul are more dangerous to property than a short tom. After all, a short tom only gored once. Based on the normal rules of Chazaka, what would we expect the short tom to do next time?
No.
Not to gore. He didn't do it three times. He's not a muad yet, right? So, he says, no. And what's unique about the Kelev and the Chatol? Nilchamim im gdola mimenu, right? They attack things bigger than it. Anyone who attacks something bigger than it, that's already scary. A shore fighting with another shore, a besader, you know, horsing around, etc. You know, a dog that attacks an elephant, you don't want to mess with. Right? He says the Kelev and the Chatol are very dangerous to animals, but the short tongue is probably tame. Meaning this is a weird case. It only did it once, but it did such a weird thing once that it's already more like, it's not technically a muad halacha, but it's more like a muad. We think it's more dangerous. Not as far as nizikin, as far as Rabbi Nassan, it's more of a muad. And the Ritva has a third idea. What's the Ritva's answer? The Ritva has a much more poshut answer. Why don't we apply Rabbi Nassan to... Why does Rabbi Nassan only appear in this weird case and not in every short time? What does the Ritva say? What? Yeah, because it's a matter of balancing rights. Now, clearly he wouldn't say this if he held like the Yamshel Shlomo. If you're endangering people's lives, but he says, look, yeah, this is dangerous, but on the other hand, you need to live. Do you need a dog? You don't need a dog. Ah, some shepherds eat dogs here and there. You'll find another dog, you know, not the end of the world. You need a cat. Okay, cleans up the mice, not the end of the world. But you need an ox, right? Without an ox, right? An ox is a tractor. Without a tractor, you can't farm. Without farming, you can't grow food, right? So you need an ox. He says, very poshut. He says, again, this obviously only works if it's a drabbanan extension. This drabbanan extension, he says, you need an ox for Parnasa, right, equals the Pasuk, right, Rov Tfuas Bekoch Shor or something, but you don't need the Kelev. They're useful, but they're not as important for agriculture as an ox. Obviously, nowadays, he would probably tell you that you're not allowed to keep the short tom either. Who needs an ox nowadays? We have tractors. You want to be Amish? Okay, that's very nice, but Jews aren't Amish. What? If you need it for the meat, then shecht it when it's wild. No problem. Right? Shecht it. Now you have meat. Now, agav, by the way, we paskin even a shor muad you don't have to shaft. We don't pass like we're less than the animal shmir masakin. We paskin shmir pechusa for sharmuad. Why do we paskin you don't have to shaft even a sharmuad? Fascinating question. So this depends. According to the Yamshel Shlomo, you'll say, ah, we mean a sharmuad only for animals who doesn't mess with people. That's why it's not sakanas nefashos. We mean a sharmuad who's tame around people and only wild around animals. Okay, according to the Ritva, I understand why you don't have to shaft the shor muad. Even though he's muad, you still need to farm. And according to the Rush, Taka, he's the only one who would say, maybe you do have to shaft the shor muad. Oh, what about the other Tanoim? That's probably why he had to make this big chish. The other Tanoim say you don't have to shaft the shor muad. Why not? It's dangerous to property, right? So, and we know that it's wild. The answer is maybe, because since you'd have to pay Nezek Sholem, therefore it's compensated damage, and compensated damages are not so bad, we'll deal with them, and it's not the end of the world, right? No one else would have to enter into that, because the Ritva already has a good answer for why the other Tanoim. So the Maisa, why do the other Tanoim, why do we Paskin? Right, we Paskin, like the other Tanoim, that Ein Chiyov Lishchot Shor Muad, you don't have to get rid of your Shor Muad. So, here it's Nicha, Demairi, Bishor, Hamuad, Libehemos, Dolad. That's what I'm going to show there's only dangerous for animals, not some wild, berserk, weird creature. Nicha, Ditsarech, Shor, Lavoda. For the Rush, Sarech Lomar, Dekaimelon, Kidea Bet, Birush de lo shayach Rabbi Nassan Hecha de Yeshalem Kol Hahezek. Where you'd have to pay the whole Hezek, it's not shayach, and that's why we're passing against Rabbi Eliezer. Lachor Rabbi Eliezer would disagree about exactly that point, perhaps.
You have to also understand, back in those days, a cat that came and scratched somebody probably caused infection.
Ah, that's also true. Cats were.
A wild dog that bit you was probably rabid. Sure, they hit you or banged you was less of a problem.
That's fair. The dog could be rabid, or the dog, you know, the, yeah, I don't know. Sorry, Ian, I don't, can cats also be rabid?
No, but they.
Okay. But they have a lot of infections.